this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Steve Lord for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached by phone at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the AARP Bulletin, Kiplinger's Magazine, Triangle Business Journal, USA Today, and The Washington Post. 2022's Hottest Scams, 8 New Fraud Pitches Now Occurring Across America, and How to Avoid Them. This article is from the April 2022 issue of AARP Bulletin and written by Sari Harar. Number 1. Google Voice Scam. Let's say you've posted a notice online, an item for sale, for example, or a plea to find a lost pet, and included your phone number. In this scam, the crook will call you, feign interest, but say they want to verify first that you aren't a scammer. They tell you that you are about to get a verification code from Google Voice, their virtual phone and text service, sent to you, and ask you to read it back. What's really going on? They are setting up a Google Voice account in your name. They can go on to perpetrate scams and pretend to be you, hiding their footprint from law enforcement, says Eve Velasquez, CEO of the Identity Theft Resource Center. Stay safe. Never share verification codes with anyone, Velasquez says. If you have fallen for this scam, you'll find steps to reclaim your account at the Google Voice Help Center, online at support.google.com/voice. Next, rental assistance cons. As eviction bans in cities and states expire, renters should be on the lookout for rental assistance scams, says Deborah Royster, Assistant Director at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Over 583,000 older adults were behind on their rent in mid-2021, opening the door for scammers to impersonate government or nonprofit employees and to request personal info and money up front for applications. Stay safe. Apply only to legit rental assistance programs run by government or nonprofit groups, Royster says. Find programs in your area on the web at cfpb.gov. Fake job frauds. Scammers harvest contact info and personal details from resumes posted on legit websites like Indeed, Monster, and CareerBuilder. Then, pretending to be recruiters, they call, email, text, or reach out on social media with high salary or work-at-home job offers. Sometimes the goal is to get additional info about you. Other times it's to convince you to send money for bogus home office setups or fake fees. Stay safe. Use a separate email address just for job hunting and set up a free Google Voice phone number that rings on your phone but keeps your real number private, says Alex Hammerstone, Advisory Solutions Director for the information security company Trusted SEC. If you get a sudden job offer, independently call the company's Human Resources Department to verify it is real, suggests Sandra Guile, spokeswoman for the International Association of Better Business Bureaus. Next, fake Amazon employees. One-third of business imposter fraud complaints involve scammers claiming they're from Amazon, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, reports. Older adults are four times more likely to lose money and get hit harder, losing a median of $1,500 versus $814 for younger adults in such scams. Amazon is the biggest, best-known company in the online sales space, Hammerstone says, so the impersonator scams feel real to people. Stay safe. Ignore calls, text messages, emails, and social media messages about suspicious account activity, raffles, or unauthorized purchases. If you think you may have a real account problem, contact Amazon customer support on the phone at 888 280-4331. Next, cryptocurrency ATM payments. Those ATMs cropping up in convenience stores, gas stations, and big retailers are scammers' newest payment method. Pretending to be government officials, utility agents, or sweepstakes representatives, they direct you to pay a purported fee, bill, or handling charge by sending cryptocurrency bought at these ATMs to an untraceable digital wallet. It's irreversible. There's no way to get your money back, says Lisa Cialanu, an attorney with the New Jersey State Commission of Investigation. Stay safe. According to the FTC, nobody from the government, law enforcement, a utility company, or prize promoter will ever tell you to pay them with cryptocurrency. If someone does, it's a scam every time. Next, local tax imposters. Scammers are impersonating state, county, and municipal law enforcement and tax collection agencies to get you to share sensitive personal information or send money to settle your tax debt. They may call, email, or mail letters threatening to revoke your driver's license or passport. Some pretend to offer state tax relief. Stay safe. Ignore any such calls and emails. Real tax agencies, from the IRS to your town tax collector, do business by mail and won't ask you for passwords or bank account or credit card info. They also won't threaten to call the police or ask you to pay with gift cards, peer-to-peer payment apps, or cryptocurrency. Favor for a friend to gift cards. You receive an email from a friend asking for a quick favor. She's having trouble with a credit card or store account and annoyingly can't buy a gift card she needs for a birthday present. Will you buy the card and call her with the numbers on the back? She'll pay you back. But this favor's really a fraud. It's almost always an imposter sending the request, the Better Business Bureau warns. If you do as told, you'll never see the money again because gift cards don't have the protections that debit and credit cards have. Stay safe. Call or text your friend to confirm the person really needs the favor. Target Google Play, Apple, eBay, and Walmart were the top cards used by scammers in 2021. Always double-check before sending someone money, the Better Business Bureau advises. And finally, peer-to-peer payment requests. Scammers are increasingly demanding payment via money transfer apps like Venmo, Zelle, and Cash App. It's so convenient. You pay in seconds from your phone or computer. But these payments usually cannot be canceled. Stay safe. Only use peer-to-peer apps to send money to friends and family. And turn on the security lock feature that requires entering a passcode to make a payment. A new RX for credit reports. Medical debts that went to collection and were later paid off may no longer damage consumers' credit scores. This story is from the July 2022 issue of Kiplinger Magazine. Many consumers who have past medical debts weighing on their credit reports will get relief this summer. Starting July 1st, the major credit bureaus, that's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, will no longer include paid-off medical debt collection accounts on credit reports. The bureaus will also extend the period before unpaid medical collections appear on credit reports from 6 months to 1 year, allowing additional time for patients to resolve issues with insurers or care providers. And in the first half of 2023, the bureau will stop including medical collection debts of less than $500 on credit files. Nearly 70% of medical debt collections will vanish from credit reports because of these measures, according to the bureaus. In announcing the changes, the credit bureaus cited a Kaiser Family Foundation study that found two-thirds of medical debts result from a one-time or short-term medical expense arising from an acute medical need. They're also the most common debts turned over to debt collectors. Paid-off medical collections should not continue to have a negative impact on someone's credit, because it's not the same as overspending on a credit card or failing to pay your car payment, says Bruce McClary, a senior vice president at the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. If a medical collection account is removed from your credit report because of a new policy, some versions of your credit score may get a lift. The newest models of the FICO score, that's FICO 9 and FICO 10, disregard all paid-off collection accounts that appear in your credit file, and unpaid medical collection accounts affect these scores less negatively than other unpaid collections. With older FICO models that do not differentiate between paid and unpaid collection accounts, the removal of paid-off medical collections may increase scores. We expect most impacted consumers to experience a score increase of less than 25 points, says Tommy Lee, Senior Director of Analytics Science at FICO. He adds that the extent of the impact will depend on the rest of an individual's credit report. Someone who has no other negative information on his or her credit report is more likely to see a larger score increase once the paid medical collection is removed. Especially in the mortgage industry, lenders may check older credit score models, such as FICO scores 2, 4, and 5. If you have an unpaid medical collection account on your credit report, consider negotiating a payment plan with the care provider or collection agency reporting it, McClary says. That may allow you to whittle down the balance enough for it to be removed from your credit file. If you recently received a medical bill that you can't afford, negotiating a lower balance or payment plan with the provider can prevent the debt from going to collection and landing on your credit report in the first place. And make sure that your health insurer pays all the expenses it's responsible for covering. As a pandemic-related measure, through the end of 2022, the three major credit bureaus are allowing consumers to check their credit reports for free on a weekly basis, rather than only once every 12 months at www.annualcreditreport.com. You can also use third-party sites such as creditkarma.com and freecreditscore.com to check your reports. If a paid-off or low-balance medical collection account erroneously shows on your credit report after the Bureau's new policies take effect, dispute the mistake with each Bureau that shows it. This story by Lisa Gerstner. Hillsborough Street program gives summer boost to restaurants and merchants. Many businesses along Hillsborough Street depend on foot traffic from students at North Carolina State University. The story is from the Triangle Business Journal, published June 20, 2022, and written by Elizabeth Egan. With students from North Carolina State University gone for the summer, businesses along Hillsborough Street in Raleigh often reach their lowest point in revenue between the spring and fall semesters. A new event series from the Hillsborough Street Community Service Corporation, HSCSC, is looking to change that. Hillsborough Street's $4 Food Walk Summer Series aims to bring business to merchants during the summer months. Every other Wednesday through the beginning of August, participating restaurants and bars will offer $4 small plates. Customers can also enjoy live music and performances and participate in a scavenger hunt with the chance to win gift cards to use at businesses in the district. The first event took place on June 8th, and the upcoming events are scheduled for July 6th, July 20th, and August 3rd. Participating merchants so far include Al Bacara Mediterranean, Blend, Bowl Box, Cha House, Gonzo Tacos and Tequila, The Green Monkey, Italian Kitchen, Groucho's Deli, Gumby's Pizza, Jasmine and Olives, Kebab and Curry, Meat and Bite, Mulan Ice Cream, Nature's Juice Bar, Oak City Pizza, Pisco Mar, Redline Beer and Wine, and Tacos El Patron 323. The nonprofit HSCSC is a 3-mile-long business improvement district. Jeff Murison, HSCSC President and CEO, said the series is based on a combination of restaurant weeks and First Friday events tailored to fit the area along Hillsborough Street. He said restaurant weeks typically include the option of dining at one of 20 to 30 restaurants and ordering a 3-course, price-fixed meal for $20 to $30. but since most of the restaurants along the Hillsborough Street corridor are fast casual concepts, the restaurant reek format doesn't fit well. So it was modified, Morrison said. He said the program was borrowed from the University of Washington, which did a food walk as a one-time event that was highly successful. It sort of completes the circle and gets you out to become more familiar, explore some of our merchants, brings more foot traffic to the corridor during the summer down season, and then it gives you an opportunity to come back to explore it using those Hillsborough Street gift cards, Morrison said. He said that while Hillsborough Street businesses sit across from NC State, the district is still part of a larger city, meaning the businesses do not see as much loss when students are away, as opposed to college towns like Chapel Hill. However, Morrison said that doesn't mean there still aren't challenges during the summer. Morrison said the June 8th event was very successful, and that the goal of having more people on the street was reached. The merchants were really excited to participate, he said. They know the summer is the sore season, and so they appreciate us trying to do something new and different during the summer. He added that even more vendors have signed up for the series since the first installment. HSCSC will be doing merchant and consumer surveys toward the end of the program to get a sense of what worked and what can be improved in the future. In your 40s with no retirement savings? Here's how to begin catching up. This article was published on June 13, 2022 in USA Today, as provided by The Motley Fool, and was written by Maury Backman. It's not uncommon for younger workers to neglect their retirement savings. After all, many people spend the bulk of their 20s paying off student loans and saving for a home. And they spend their 30s grappling with childcare expenses and the ever-climbing cost of raising kids. As such, if you're entering your 40s with no money in retirement savings, you're no doubt in good company. But it's also time to get serious about building a nest egg. The good news is that you might still, conceivably, have several decades in the workforce ahead of you. But it pays to make these three smart moves if you're midway through your career without any money in your 401k or IRA. Number one, choose a major expense to slash. If you have a family and ties to a community, selling your home and moving to a less expensive neighborhood might not be desirable. But that doesn't mean you can't cut back on another large expense. It could be possible, for example, to go from a two-car household to a single-car household. And unloading a car could free up thousands of dollars each year for your nest egg. If that's not doable, look at other large costs you can play around with. If your family commonly takes a $6,000 yearly vacation, skip it this year and use that money to max out your IRA. $6,000 is the annual contribution limit for workers under the age of 50. These types of sacrifices aren't easy. But if you don't make them, you might have to make even tougher sacrifices during retirement. Number two, boost your income with a second job. The gig economy is booming these days, which means there are plenty of opportunities to pick up work you can do on top of your main job. If you're juggling a career and a family, that may not be easy, but it's necessary nonetheless. And you could find that working a second job and boosting your income is easier than having to slash expenses at this stage of your life. Number three, invest aggressively. You may be a naturally skittish investor who would prefer to stay away from stocks. But if you're currently playing catch-up with retirement savings, now is not the time to be too conservative. While stocks are far more volatile than more stable investments like bonds, they also tend to deliver higher returns. And loading up on stocks could help you make up for lost time if you're behind on building your nest egg. If you're worried that you lack the knowledge to choose the right investments for your portfolio, there's an easy solution: broad market index funds. Buying these gives you instant diversification without all the guesswork. And if you're nervous about owning stocks, you might feel more secure investing your money in the broad market rather than taking the chance on a few specific companies. It's not too late. The more time you give your nest egg to grow, the more retirement wealth you're likely to accumulate. But that doesn't mean all is lost if you've reached your 40s without any retirement savings. Rather than stress about the time you've lost, focus on what you can do to improve your long-term financial outlook. If you make an effort to pump more money into your savings and invest strategically, you may find that you end up with plenty of cash to fund the retirement of your dreams. This inflation-proof bond is paying 9.62%. Here's how to buy it. A step-by-step guide to buying inflation-indexed I-Series government savings bonds. This story is from the Washington Post, published June 22, 2022, and written by Michelle Singletary. The government's inflation protection savings bond right now is like a Birkin bag, highly coveted. With the stock market crashing and inflation rising, people are desperately looking for a place to park their extra cash. Paying 9.62%, the relatively unknown inflation-proof Series I savings bond has become a hit, with $17.5 billion sold in the 6 months ending in May, according to the Treasury Department. That's compared with $364 million in I-bond sales in all of 2020. If you've got money sitting around earning a little more than 1%, if that much, I-bonds are an attractive deal. Several callers to Ask Post, that number is 855-275-7678, Michelle Singletary's toll-free line, have been asking about I-bonds. There are a couple of things you should know before buying an I-bond. You have to set up an account at treasurydirect.gov to buy the bonds. The interest rate on new Series I savings bonds is 9.62% through October 2022. Individuals can only purchase up to $10,000 in electronic I-bonds each calendar year. If your purchase exceeds that limit, it can take up to 16 weeks for Treasury to process a refund. You can also buy up to $5,000 in paper I-bonds using your federal income tax refund. You pay the face value of the bond. For example, you pay $25 for a $25 bond. You can't cash the I-bond for at least 1 year. If you cash the bond before 5 years, you lose the previous 3 months of interest. And you have to pay federal income taxes on the interest. Now, here's a step-by-step guide to purchasing I-bonds, which starts with setting up an account at treasurydirect.gov. Number one, pack your patience. Seriously, the website says the account setup takes 10 minutes. Maybe for some people, if everything goes right. It didn't for me and my husband. It took me 20 minutes to get through the initial setup, and in the end, I couldn't set up an account online. More on that later. It took my husband about 30 minutes with a snafu on his part. If there is an issue or you make a mistake, the process to fix it is frustrating and archaic. And last month, so many people rushed to Treasury Direct to purchase the government savings bond that the website crashed. Number two, go to treasurydirect.gov on the web. Under Account Login, click the link to open an account. If you're not sure about how to navigate the process, take the guided tour. I also recommend you watch the video on how to set up an account. Lots of readers have said they've had issues with setting up their account, and now are having trouble reaching a live person to help them figure out what went wrong. Number three, to set up an account, you'll need a taxpayer identification number, such as your Social Security number. You also have to have an address in the United States. You need an email address. You are required to provide at least one telephone number. Number four, there's a section to add your bank information, which will be the account you will use to buy the bonds. It has to be a checking or savings account. Triple check this part before you hit submit. Get this wrong and you are transported back a few decades to a system that can't handle an online change. More about this later. Number 5, you'll go through several additional steps to set up your account, including creating a password, choosing a personalized image, and selecting some security questions. Be sure to choose a strong password and security questions that can't be obtained from searching your social media accounts. If you post a lot about your fish Goldie or your beloved dog Champ, don't pick that as an answer to security question, "What was your first pet's name?" Number 6. Once you have established your account, you'll receive an email with your Treasury Direct account number. When you log into your account for the first time, you'll get a one-time passcode sent to your email. Make sure the image you selected appears. Eventually, you'll enter the password you selected. Number 7. If you successfully set up an account, you can electronically buy bonds by transferring money from a checking or savings account. My husband mistakenly put in the checking account number when we wanted the funds to come from a savings account. You can't correct the account information online. You have to print out a bank change form to edit an existing bank in your Treasury Direct account. If that weren't frustrating enough, you have to sign the paper form in the presence of an authorized certifying official available at a bank, trust company, or credit union, and mail it to us for processing. Ugh. I triple-checked all my information, yet I was not able to set up a Treasury Direct account. Instead, I received an email that said in part, "We are having difficulty verifying the information you provided when opening your account. We are not provided with any information related to issues with the account verification." Now I have to go through some Byzantine process to finish setting up my account. Treasury says, for my protection, I have to complete an account authorization form and get it signed at a bank in the presence of a certifying officer and snail mail it to a Treasury P.O. box in Minneapolis. Yes, we want vigorous security measures. Still, what a ridiculous hurdle for people just trying to grow their money. Modernize the security, for goodness sake. We are working on changes that would allow notarization instead of certification or guarantee of an applicant's signature on the Treasury Direct Account Authorization Form, FS Form 5444, a Treasury spokesperson emailed. Here's some good news. If you have trouble setting up an account, you can purchase an iBond through October 28th, and you'll still receive the 9.62% interest rate for 6 months. We've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Steve Lord, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.